Welcome back to Highly Successful Couples, the podcast that helps couples grow together instead of growing apart. I'm your host, Nick Solacek, and today we are going to talk about closing exits, energetic exits in our relationship. Sometimes our energy goes in a direction our partner doesn't want it to go. Sometimes we do things to cope with the stress of life, of our relationship, to cope with something that could be painful, upsetting to us, you know, to cope with the distance, maybe the negativity at home or something else that could be going on. And the point of this conversation is, how can we decrease our pain through deepening our commitment? And a lot of us have an opportunity to do this. I can feel this with my partner, the opportunity to go deeper, you know, as we grow, that there are layers of the onion, there are more depths for us to explore beneath the surface level aspects of our relationship. And exits are extremely popular. We're going to talk about the different kinds of exits that exist. We're going to explore how they might be showing up in your relationship, why they exist, why we take exits from a psychological perspective, and what are some of the things that you can do about it. So let's dive in. You know, some of us have heard the term energetic leaks, energetic exits, relationship exits. That's what we're talking about today. And it's the process of acting out. We've got feelings about our partner. We've got feelings about our relationship. And we act out in certain ways. Something is painful. And to avoid that pain, we behave in certain ways. And that could be watching a lot of sports, could be smoking cigarettes, it could be spending every night out of the house with our friends or becoming a workaholic. There are different kinds of exits. But what really this is all about is that we avoid intimacy. We can avoid closeness for one primary reason, which is that we feel hurt about something. Our needs are not getting met in some way. So there is a spectrum of exits. If you imagine a arc, like a rainbow's arc, on one end of that, there are intentional exits. And on the other end, there are terminal exits. So what that means is, like, there's a spectrum here of ways that we can behave in our relationship to avoid pain and to try to bring some pleasure online. And there are, you know, ways that we can exit our relationship that doesn't end it, right? There are ways that we can exit the moment with our partner. It's like we're sitting there, but we're not really with them. We're not really present. We're staring at our phone. Back in the day, maybe we'd be holding the newspaper up in front of our face. So we're going to outline, you know, what these all mean. And let's just do that now. So intentional exits, it's really designed to avoid intimacy. So that is that kind of staring into your phone at the breakfast table, eating meals alone in your den or your office away from your partner, reading in your bedroom by yourself every night, spending every night, you know, in front of your laptop in another room. And this can be a choice to avoid your partner, to not be with them, to not sit with them because there's something maybe difficult or upsetting or awkward, something unresolved in the relationship. So it's easier to put your energy somewhere else. There are other kinds of exits. Like I was talking about sitting in front of the laptop. Maybe you're working, you know, so it might not be fully intentional, but it's something that needs to get done. Like, we need to work. We got stuff to do. And even though the activity is essential or really important, one partner can still experience it as an exit, which pulls energy out of the relationship. And your motivation, you know, your personal motivation determines whether it's functional or it's something intentional. And there can be a lack of personal clarity about this. You can put these words aside, like functional and intentional, and just think, like, hey, is there an exit here with my work, with my constant cooking and cleaning, with my grocery shopping and child minding. Now, some of you who have a lot going on, it's like, I can imagine your stress and everything you have happening in your life to say, yeah, right. Like I'm exiting. Like I actually don't want to do these things. I wish I wasn't constantly going from the grocery store to the kitchen, to the dishwasher, to my child to, you know, rinse and repeat. But we can put energy into these things, right? We can obsessively bake. We can obsessively always be toiling in the kitchen as a way of avoiding something else going on in our relationship or in our home. And that includes things like exercise. So exercise is good for us. That's something we probably all could benefit from. Self-care routines of different kinds. But it can also become an exit that we over-exercise. Or we always, spend 3-4 hours exercising at a time to get out of the house or get away from our partner or be in our own energy. So you got to ask yourself, you know, do I exit my relationship in certain ways? How do I do it? Are there de-energizing kinds of exits that exist here that drain energy from the space between, that take away from me and my partner's relationship? Some partners spend a lot of time on the internet, surfing, playing video games. Some partners spend a lot of time in front of the TV, binging Netflix, maybe watching every single sports game that they can watch. Some people might spend all of their time with their friends instead of making sure that they have some time with their partner. And scrolling, doom scrolling, video games, all this stuff is can become de-energizing exits. Certainly a controversial subject like pornography, that can be a de-energizing exit. So some of these things, I would say most of these things on their face are not terrible, right? Like it's not a bad thing to spend time with friends. It's okay to play a video game. Watching a sports game can be fun. But when it is pushed to the extreme, energy is usually drained from the relationship, and one or both partners feel that. And there's something deeper going on. There's something underneath that the behavior of the exit that is signifying something else that we're out of touch with, or that we don't want to touch, or that we don't want to make contact with because we don't know how to hold it. We don't know how to talk about it. We're not sure how to solve the issue. The exit is the resolution, right? That's why we do it in the first place. And it's probably something we also learned how to do as a child. So for example, for me, I was a avid gamer growing up. And over the last, let's say 20 years, I have played video games on and off. Everything from, an actual console to playing chess to playing cards. And that was a way as a child that I entertained myself and I self-soothed and also, escaped from my reality in certain ways. And kind of part of how I would just spend time by myself to regulate. There's something entertaining about it, but there's also when it gets pushed to an extreme, it can be like, oh, I find connection here, or I find purpose through this. And of course, there are catastrophic exits. If left open, the relationship will usually end, which is addictions, affairs, contempt, stonewalling. As we've discussed before, contempt and stonewalling are two of the four horsemen identified by the Gottmans. And most of us can sense how addictions could end a relationship if it's left open, if our partner does not get a sense of safety in the relationship. Because when someone is addicted, they're powerless, their energy and attention is going in a certain direction. The addiction is the first priority. And they often do a lot of things to protect their addiction, like hiding, lying, deceiving. So it has a real, real negative impact on the relationship. Affairs, that's an obvious one for most of us, that if that continues, the relationship will end. For many of us, if we found out our partner was having an affair, that would just be the end right there. We wouldn't even be willing to work on it. We'd feel so betrayed. We might walk away from the situation. But a lot of couples do work on affairs. They do heal from that if both people are willing. If they're willing to close the exit, which means ending inappropriate relationships, changing behavior, finding out what is happening at the root, what is going on at a deeper level that is driving the energy in that direction to take an exit. So, catastrophic. We definitely don't want these, and we certainly don't want terminal. Now, these are extreme examples, obviously, but we just need to frame this. It's like we started off talking about intentional and functional exits, things that probably, if we're all honest, we can see little ways that we do things like, to exit the moment with our partner or, it's like we want to get some space to ourselves. Maybe we need some time for ourselves, which is totally healthy and normal. But there are also things that become chronic patterns in the relationship, which is like, I do it this way so that I get an exit. And then we go all the way over here to catastrophic and terminal, which these things put an end to the relationship for sure. Divorce, right? Breaking up, that's one way to just end this thing finally. And murder and suicide. Right? These are extreme examples. I hope that none of us, ever have this going on around us, but it is a reality that people do end their relationship that way, that they are in so much pain that that is the kind of exit that they take. Most of us are not there. We're dealing with de-energizing exits. We're dealing with, functional exits, things that are easier to transform. So what's going on here? What's driving these exits? Well, really, it's that we feel hurt, we're upset, we're in pain, we feel a void, a deep longing, it's just some need that's not getting met. And we express ourselves typically through anger because we feel angry, we feel maybe even grief about the loss of romantic love. That special, wonderful feeling that we had in the beginning. And it's like, oh, where did that go? Can I ever get it back? And, we can experience our partner as withholding and maybe not meeting our needs in some way. And if we haven't talked about it, we're not entirely clear why. It's like, do they not know how? Do they not care? And when we don't know why, when we haven't had a conversation, our brain is going to fill the gap. It's going to fill that void, try to make sense of what's going on. And it's going to make up stories. We are going to, try to come up with some evidence about what's really happening here. We also express our hurt, through fear. And in the honeymoon phase, right, that loss of romantic love, in the honeymoon phase, our partner is seen as a source of need gratification. We expect and project that they are going to meet our needs. They are going to be the lover of our dreams. They are going to be our champion, our cheerleader. They're going to show up for us in the way that we want them to show up for us. But in the power struggle, we see our partner as a source of pain rather than pleasure. We notice all the ways we're in touch with all the ways they don't show up for us or don't meet our needs. And that can definitely drive us towards an exit. Interestingly, we can also express our hurt through helplessness. And we can exit our relationship when we feel helpless in our connection. And this is interesting because most couples that come to work with me, they don't recognize that they feel hopeless or they don't recognize the helplessness that's online for them. And I got to say, in my experience of my relationship, is that there's a lot of times where I couldn't really recognize that as well. I was feeling it in my body, but I wasn't able to label that. And a lot of people, I think, can relate. I think a lot of guys can relate to feeling a sensation, feeling something, and just not really like recognizing it. And we're not able to label it. We're not able to recognize it. It makes it more difficult to work with, because one of the first steps is awareness. So when we feel helpless, there's a lot of problems that come from feeling helpless because when we feel that in our body, we start generating thoughts. from that physical state. And when we start thinking helpless thoughts, we start feeling helpless feelings, sensations, and that really can loop, and we can get into a feedback loop. And if we're feeling helpless and we're expressing that, then our partner is going to start to feel helpless. Maybe they don't know what to do. Or maybe they try to fix. Okay, hey, look on the bright side. Or maybe they give some relationship platitude, or they sincerely try to hang in there with you. But then maybe nothing works. And then now they're feeling helpless. And it's a really terrible place to get to for couples, for all of us. We really don't want to feel this. It's a terrifying thing to feel. And we can feel this for different reasons. Like, for example, you finally feel close to your partner, but you fear losing the connection, right? You got this really strong fear about losing them, being abandoned or being rejected, or, you know, just being neglected in some way. Or maybe you start feeling emotions that you weren't allowed to express as a child. You're feeling those now, but you weren't allowed to as a kid. No one was really there for you. You weren't taught that, hey, it's okay to feel what you feel, and it's okay to feel that. So you can feel stuck kind of in your own way. You can have old feelings of being trapped starting to show up again. So you're close to another person, you're in relationship, but to some of us that just occurs as a trap. You know, the commitment is like, oh, like I'm, you know, we have this fear underneath that of being controlled, dominated, and smothered. That can make us feel helpless. Maybe, you know, we want to be vulnerable, but it feels risky. So we're kind of stuck there. It's like, I want to kind of let you in, or I want to open up, but it's like, ooh, I don't know if it's like safe to do that. I'm worried about how you might respond, about how you might react. And you know, you can probably draw a link to your childhood about where that pattern comes from for you. Like being vulnerable maybe was risky because of a judgmental, rejecting, negative caretaker who could have been kicking around the house. We can also feel helpless because we see our partner's pain, but we can't fix it. You know, I see you, I feel that, wow, and it's not, I feel like there's nothing I can do about it. You know, some things we can't fix in the moment. We also might want to say yes, or we might want to say no. We might want to like really express ourselves and have a voice, but we can feel helpless because we don't really know how to do that. Like we weren't allowed to have a choice as a child. Maybe our voice, our needs didn't matter. People said, be quiet, sit down, don't talk. We don't care what you think. And it can be difficult then to actually do that as an adult, you know? So we need to learn how, but it is one of the reasons we can feel helpless. We also can feel close to our partner, but it reminds us, part of our psyche is reminded of the closeness in childhood that always led to pain. And this is something we can all take ownership of, right? You had an experience in your life at some point between the ages of 0 and 20 with a parent, with an authority figure, with a friend, with a crush in high school, where that closeness led to pain, right? Being close to another person led to something difficult. Could be on the abandonment side of things, not important, not a priority, betrayed, put down. Could be on the other side, you know, controlled, smothered, dominated, guilt tripped, held to unreasonable standards. You know, all of these things can play a role in creating a sense of helplessness in our connection. So we need support on this kind of stuff. And, you know, if you are struggling in your relationship and you and your partner want to work on things, I work with clients from around the world. It is all over Zoom. We can meet weekly, bi-weekly. I'm actively working on this stuff with couples to help them create a relationship that is aligned so they can be more free of these kinds of patterns, better understand themselves, and better understand what really works in relationship. You know, what matters the most, and how can we focus on that? So just reach out to me. You can find me on my website, on Instagram. Send me a message and we can talk more about that. Couples collude, they collude on this stuff. We keep a set distance in the dance of intimacy. And we might see our partner exiting the relationship in a certain way, right? We might be noticing that, wow, they've been spending 4 hours a day playing township, or, they're always playing online poker in their office, or, wow, they've watched every murder mystery known to man on every streaming platform, and they just spend their evenings in front of the TV. We collude on this stuff. And usually, if you've got something like this going on in your relationship, you collude because you're afraid about getting too close, or you're afraid about getting too far apart. It's common. Those are common fears. I don't need to be a psychic to know that that might be true for you. And it's really just noticing, like, we want love, but we're also terrified of getting it. Because if I love you, oh, like, I don't want to lose you. But if I love you and I'm close to you, does that, what does love mean? Because, like, in our psyche, closeness, love, connection, family, being attached and together cannot always mean the best things to us. It's kind of a, it's a messed up thing that, like, we yearn for partnership, we want to be together, and then we can also fear it at the same time. And then when we get it, maybe we fear losing it. And we can fear being too close, fear being separated. And that fear of closeness and fear of separation play a role in our collusion. They play a role in terms of the exits that we choose. The point here is that it takes two to tango. So what is happening on one side of the relationship is happening on another, right? We do this together. It takes two people to make a relationship great. It takes two people to make it shitty. And that is a philosophy that I think in some spaces can be a little bit controversial, right? But I'm of the mindset that we do this together. We make this great. We make this crappy. It is something that we co-create. I've discovered personally a lot of freedom in taking that on, in stepping outside of the blame game, finger pointing. I want to do it sometimes. I want to make it all my partner's fault so that I don't have to feel responsible, that I don't have to feel shame, that I don't have to go into my not good enough story. But I'm committed to healing, I'm committed to growth. So my willingness has to go to a whole new level. My level of leadership has to go to a whole new level to say, you know what? We do this. We're having a negative moment. We're having a bad day. We create that together. And how can we do better? How can I love you better? How can you love me better? And how can we bring our aligned vision alive? These are important inquiries. So what we're saying here overall with exits is, in the power struggle, couples experience their partner as a source of pain and exit as a source of pleasure. Right? So power struggle energy is you're different than me. My brain codes difference as danger. That makes me anxious. I don't want to feel anxious, so I get negative with you. Or I make a choice to exit the relationship through my internet use, through my staying out of the house, working late, whatever it is. And people can be really resistant to closing exits, because that's bringing them pleasure. That's reducing their pain. And they don't, typically we got a frozen image of our partner in our mind. We have a frozen picture of each other and of what is possible for this relationship. So closing an exit, can be like, oh, I don't want to do that because this is the thing that I enjoy. This is the thing that's actually fun for me. And it helps ease some of the existential questions that I've got in my mind. It helps relieve some of the concerns that I have about my life or my relationship. And I don't really see my partner as that fun or that pleasurable. So, well, if I close this exit, what happens? And really, what's going on there is that You don't believe that your needs will get met. You don't believe that your partner is going to be able to show up in that way. And if you've got that going on, it proves my point about having a frozen picture of one another. That, you know what? Yeah, you're just this way. And what's the point? And, you know, you've been that way for 5 or 10 years. Nothing's going to change. You can see how this shows up in your relationship in a certain way, and maybe how it's shown up in past relationships. So it's an important concept to understand. So this is a process. This is not a light switch. This is not something that's just going to happen overnight. If you notice exits or part of this conversation is resonating for you, it's like if you're smoking a pack of cigarettes a day, and that's an exit that you decided to take long ago because you didn't want to feel something. There was something going on for you that you didn't want to feel. So smoking cigarettes helped ease that. It was a form of relaxation that was sold to you in a certain way. You know, yes, there's a chemical addiction there, but the point is trying to not do that, it's going to take a lot of energy and effort. Some people do quit cold turkey. How do they do that? An immense amount of discipline, determination, effort to say, I'm not going to do this anymore, you know, and let me discover what's really going on here for me. They need a big reason. They need a big reason to quit, to give that up. And sometimes people do it for health. They do it for, you know, other spiritual reasons or personal reasons they might come up with. And what I'm saying here is that it's a process. And if you try to quit smoking in this example, you know, you might relapse, right? You might have a craving, but okay, can we get back on the horse? Can we close the exit? And the same thing, you're trying to lose fat, gain muscle. It's like, oh, might have a lazy week. I might fall back into my old routine. I might get tired, might have an injury. I don't know, whatever it is, but you know, it's like, can we come back to what the goal is or the direction that we want it to go, right? Instead of spending time at home eating nachos and drinking a six pack of beer, can we close that exit, right? Eating a lot of food, that could be an exit, right? A way of not feeling what's going on, a way of self-soothing, right? The stress of what's happening in my life or in my relationship. You know, I'm one of these people, right? That can like emotionally eat. Just unconsciously, it's like, oh, I'm feeling stressed about something. I'll just go have a snack. I heard Stephen Porges talk one time actually about how drinking, eating, just that act of swallowing is actually regulating. And so we can get into a position in life, you know, drinking sweets, sodas, alcohol, eating maybe more food than is good for us. As an act of regulation, because at a deeper level, that's not happening for us in some way. Like our nervous system doesn't know how to do that, hasn't learned how. We don't have a conscious tool, and maybe our attachment system is working overtime, or we've got some dysregulation in our system because of the nervous system we inherited from our parents, and that's what we do. We do inherit our parents' nervous systems. They are the master regulators of the household when we're young. And they teach us how to handle life, you know, how to deal with our stress or not deal with it. So, end of tangent, coming back to exits here, we really just got to learn to express our feelings safely within the relationship. We have an opportunity to do that. To express our feelings safely. So, you know, most of you, you're not dealing with like loud, wild, intense conflicts and shouting matches and plates thrown against the wall. That is usually reserved for the movies and TV. If you got it going on, I don't have a judgment about that other than, hey, I think there's probably another way to handle the upset, the pain that you're in, instead of creating more chaos, you know, I think there's another way to do that. Most of the people that I work with, I think most people listening to this show are dealing with tension, moments of misunderstanding, moments of tension. You know, you're sensitive, you're emotionally intelligent, and your partner does these little things that can bring stuff up for you. Parts get activated, triggers come online. And it's like, how do we work with this material? We love each other, we care about each other, but God, you know, this is painful. So it's not about conflict free, it's about conflict safe. So how can we create agreements about what happens in these moments of tension and misunderstanding? How can we learn how to work through that? That it's okay to have these moments. It's normal to have these moments. That's part of relationship. It doesn't mean that we're broken or we're failing or this is like, you know, something relationship we need to throw out. But it means there's something we need to work on. So we need to learn how to express our feelings safely. We need to learn how to listen to our partner with openness, curiosity, empathy, being able to sense what our partner is going through, what it's like to be them, to feel what they're feeling. And if we maintain steps over time, small steps, if we take small steps, that can be more effective than big swings, big changes that are difficult to sustain. Now, I'm open to you doing this any way that you want, but as long as it's consistent, as long as it's something that you can sustain. And just know that it is a process. We can help keep energy in the relationship for the purpose of mutual healing and growth. Because an exit is essentially putting energy somewhere else. We can make a conscious choice to keep that here, you know, between me and my partner. And if you are exiting or your partner's exiting in a certain way, we got to have a little compassion for these exits if we're going to make positive changes. Because if we get really negative, we get really controlling, we get shaming, blaming, finger pointing, that's really not going to help the issue. The choice to exit is rarely malicious. It's rarely something that a person is like, yeah, I'm going to hurt you in this way, and I'm going to exit my relationship and cause you pain over a long period of time. It's mostly an unconscious choice. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to get needs met, and we're trying to create safety, even if that means keeping secrets, even if that means being at a distance from our partner. We want to try to get our needs met. So we try to make up for the emptiness, the longing, the void, the pain that we feel by filling our lives with substitute pleasure. So, you know, I'm not enjoying my life. I'm not enjoying my work. I'm not enjoying my relationship. I don't have a connection with my partner. We've grown apart physically. We haven't had sex in months, you know, so maybe we fill our lives with substitute pleasure, which could be pornography, could be watching a lot of TV, could be spending all of our time in our office building models from the, you know, craft store. There's all kinds of things we can do, right? We spend all of our time in the garage tinkering away from our partner. And there's so many different examples of this, but it's just, you got to get that we want to feel pleasure. We want to feel good. And we often put that ahead of our relationship. It's like, I just want to feel good selfishly. So I'll do what I need to do to get that. And it's unconscious because we don't see how, hey, this is not like a great long-term strategy for my partnership. I mean, it works to a degree, but it doesn't really help the relationship. It's just more about me and protecting myself and picking safety. And time again, we will make that choice, right? We do need to be safe. There are some really important things that we want to protect, like our ability to be ourselves, to feel what we're feeling, to make our own choices, to be able to explore, you know, to just feel okay. And sometimes we feel like we've got to maybe get a bit of distance or get away from our partner in order to feel those things. And so there is a huge growth opportunity for anybody that might be in that situation. And there is a three-pronged plug of conscious relationship. And what that's really about is a commitment to the relationship, both partners saying, hey, we are in this thing together. A commitment to the other, commitment to the partner, because the relationship and the partner are actually separate entities, right? There's you, there's your partner, and there's the relationship. The relationship is in the space between everything you do, everything you don't do. You, things you say, the things you don't. So commitment to the relationship, commitment to the partner, and commitment to change, commitment to growth. That we are doing this together. We want to take things in a positive direction. And we know that that's going to take some time. So to close this conversation, you know, exits is a process. It's not an event. It's not a light switch moment. You might have a eureka. You might have a light bulb go off, but it might take time to actually integrate this to make meaningful changes. So you can try experimenting with time periods for closing exits instead of committing, I'm never going to do this again. That, you know, from here on forever, I'm committed to quitting this or not doing this. You know, try experimenting with time periods. Obviously, with the extreme stuff like catastrophic exits, affairs, specifically, you know, we really do need to close those things right away. We need to end those relationships that are inappropriate. With catastrophic exits, you know, they need to end for the relationship to heal, right? They need to end for you guys to start healing and start growing. It's absolutely critical. And I feel for you if you're in that position or you've been there before. What a difficult time. So I think the long and short of it is that you will likely need support outside of your relationship to work on exits. We use these things to ease our pain, bring us pleasure. There's good reasons that we do it. Good reasons, and often historical context, things that we learned to do as a child or we had to do as a child to create a sense of safety or protect ourselves. And each partner, you will usually experience your partner's exits as a source of pain. So classic one is the man who secretly watches pornography. And it's his pleasure, but, you know, it's her pain, as Dr. Marty Klein once wrote. And so we need to find a way to talk about this and work on things. You know, there can be resistance to closing exits because we've come face to face with disappointments, anger, fear, hopelessness. You know, we don't want to feel these things. But there is a way through, and if we're able to hang in there and do some exploring, you know, like with support, we can usually make important breakthroughs and see things another way, have somebody help us hold what's going on. It's difficult to give up things that bring us pleasure, you know, because then we face the void. It's like, if I give this up, now I have to feel this uncomfortable feeling about what to do about this connection or this unmet need that I've got. You know, and how do I work with that? How do I talk to my partner about that? Closing exits can alleviate fear in one partner and exacerbate it in the other, right? So one partner feels relieved and the other person's like, whoa, this is real scary. And this is one of the reasons that we need support. So, closing exits, an important conversation. I would not be here today talking to you about this if I didn't have experiences in my own life of closing exits or noticing exits, talking with my own partner about this. And I would not be able to present these ideas without the important work of Dr. Harvill Hendricks and Helen LaKelly Hunt, founders of the Imago Relationship Theory. These are all ideas that I got from my training and certification as a couples therapist. And this stuff comes up with pretty much every couple that I work with. You know, we can all see ways, if we're honest, about how we might energetically exit. So if you got this going on for you, consider what I've said today, some of the suggestions that I've made. Inquire, you know, what might be the next step or the best possible place to start with this. A conversation with yourself, a conversation with your partner, a one-on-one conversation with a mentor, therapist, counselor, coach, or for you and your partner to bring this up in your next couples therapy session, to talk about it with each other and explore. And sometimes we need someone to hold us in that experience. So, you guys know where to find me. I appreciate all of you being here. As always, no ads, no BS, no sponsors on this show, and no wasting your damn time. And in exchange for that, a review, a five-star review, if you feel like I deserve it, would be amazing. Sharing the podcast with someone who, you know, you feel like might benefit from it, posting it to a story, sharing an episode on social media, all of that can help get this thing off the ground and reach more couples and ultimately support my work and the show. So thank you for doing that if you have already. Thank you for being here. We will see you next week. Take good care of yourself.